This week, we've asked some of our friends here at Weekend Edition to recommend some of their favorite movies that may tell us something about the realms in which they work and live. Movies about economics, sports, math, or even movies about movies. We call it the Weekend Edition Film Festival. No juries, no red carpets, and no prizes. First, Daniel Pinkwater, our ambassador to the world of children's literature, he recommends Dumbo.
This film is like a little opera. Dumbo accidentally gets drunk. The horrible clowns who are exploiting and bullying him have spilled a bottle of whiskey in a water bucket, and Dumbo and his friend Timothy the Mouse get drunk. And they wind up in a tree, which is how we learn that Dumbo can fly. They encounter a bunch of racially stereotyped crows, and that leads into this total knockout number, When I See an Elephant Fly.
But I'll be done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly.
With the wind.
When I see an elephant fly.
It makes you feel good every time.
Next, our friend from the business world, Joe Nocera, who's editorial director of Fortune magazine. He recommends a movie that celebrates the small shareholder in big business, the Solid Gold Cadillac.
It's a fairy tale, really, in which the small stockholder, in this case, Judy Holliday, winds up leading a shareholder revolt against the cronies in the board and wants to bring back the old CEO, who's played by Paul Douglas. And, of course, she falls in love with him. And in the final scene, of course, they succeed and they oust the bad guys. And at the next board of directors meeting, sure enough, she's on the board.
Miss Partridge, you are in control of the entire company!
One of the things I love about it, as somebody who writes about and thinks about business all the time, is that it's not particularly anti-business. One of the things I've never liked about most business movies and about the way Hollywood treats business in general is that business is usually viewed as this evil behemoth. And in general, in the real world, business is not that way. Business has good guys, business has bad guys, and so does this movie. 1956, Solid Gold Cadillac.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
That's Alec Baldwin as a motivator, probably the best acting turn he's ever made. And it was written especially by David Mamet for the movie version of Glengarry Glen Ross. My name is Barbara Lippert, and I usually speak about advertising on Weekend Edition. This time we're going for sales. This is really Death of a Salesman in the age of Reaganomics. They're selling lots, sort of the equivalent of Florida swampland in Arizona. The cast is heavenly. I mean, Ed Harris, Kevin Spacey, who was then unknown, Al Pacino, Jack Lemmon, probably in the best acting job of his career.
Now, by federal law, as you probably know, the prize must be awarded to you, even if you are not engaged in our land development plan. The only stipulation, of course, is that you and your husband must sign at the same time for the receipt of your prize. Now, I will be in the area tonight and possibly tomorrow. What do you think might be a convenient time to meet with both you and your husband? Of course I'll hold.
I think Mamet always comments that commerce really comes down to just a confidence game. But, you know, to pick these losers who are desperately trying to foist worthless stuff on chumps, I mean, it's the absolute extreme, you know, for understanding that. The movie is called Glengarry Glen Ross.
Barbara Lippert, ad critic for Ad Week magazine. Now, our sports commentator, Ron Rappaport, chose Bang the Drum Slowly with Robert De Niro and Michael Moriarty. Our annoying music man, Jim Nader, chose The Sound of Music. Frankly, that's too easy. Our classics commentator, Elaine Fantham, chose 1981's Clash of the Titans, a film with Lord Laurence Olivier, Dame Maggie Smith, and Claire Bloom. But Elaine enthused most about Harry Hamlin as Perseus.
He has very nice biceps.
Now, I was torn between two films. His Girl Friday, which is Howard Hawks' 1940 rendition of that classic play about Chicago journalism, The Front Page. It's a great film, but some of the play's most pungent dialogue had to be pruned for the screen, so I chose a film about broadcasting, Elia Kazan's 1957, A Face in the Crowd. Young Andy Griffith, as you've never seen him before or since, as Lonesome Rhodes, a drunk tank vagabond who becomes a demagogue by the power of radio and TV. The movie was made in the wake of Father Charles Coughlin and Joseph McCarthy, who were both made and unmade by mass media. Andy Griffith gives a sly and searing performance as a man who forgets you can never really tell if the microphone is off or on.
Are those morons out there? Sure, I got them like this.
You know what the public's like, a cage full of guinea pigs. There are a lot of trained seals. I toss them a dead fish and they'll flap their flippers.
Why, he's a monster. I'm going to call the station if I don't give him a piece of my mind.
That ought to hold the more... We're not on the air, are we? Well, anyway, our math guy, Keith Devlin, chose the one movie in which a mathematician gets the girl. A Beautiful Mind, starring Russell Crowe as Nobel laureate John Nash.
John Nash has just met Alicia, who's going to become his wife. They go out on their first date. It's a very fancy Great Gatsby sort of event at the local governor's mansion. Early on in the evening, they go out into the garden. It's a beautiful starry night. And Nash and Alicia look up at the sky, and Nash says,
"Pick a shape.
Pick a shape.
What?
Pick a shape. An animal, anything.
Okay. An umbrella."
And at this point, as the camera slowly pans up into the sky, we see Nash walk round behind Alicia, take her hand in his, and move her hand so that it points out some stars, and then we see him trace out in the stars the shape of an umbrella. And of course Alicia is absolutely blown away by this.
Do it again. Do it again.
All right, what would you like?
Do an octopus.
And this to me captures the essence of mathematics, because what mathematicians do is we look at the world and we see and we identify patterns in the world. When we see those patterns, patterns that people would otherwise not have seen, we then analyze them, we study them, we do our mathematics with them. But it's all about recognizing and tracing out patterns in things in the world, patterns that are otherwise hidden. Another reason why I think that scene is really good is that not only does he do this, but it's done in a very emotional-laden and a very, very romantic, almost, fashion. And mathematicians do it that way. When we look at these patterns, when we study mathematical patterns, we are emotionally involved. It is a romantic experience. So in that one scene, the movie captures what mathematics is and the emotional involvement that mathematicians have with the subject. Absolutely beautiful.
And here's the moment almost no one's been waiting for. Hi, I'm Elvis Mitchell. I've been doing this for at least the last 50 years on NPR's Weekend Edition, talking about movies. And the movie I've chosen is Richard Rush's 1979 opus, The Stuntman. What's so great about this movie, I think what makes it a really important experience for movie lovers, is that it's a movie about trying to get a movie right and about that sort of point where dreams and real life intersect, and how paranoia gets the best of everybody, including creative people. And that will be more than evident in the clip that we're about to hear. Peter O'Toole, in perhaps the best performance of his career, plays the wily, shrewd, manipulative director Eli Cross, talking about the intentions of a movie versus what the movie actually represents to people. And he's addressing the frightened, manipulated young stuntman slash actor played by Steve Railsback.
I know a man who made an anti-war movie. Good one. When it was shown in his hometown, army enlistment went up 600%. I'm trying to convince the world with my movie there is a reasonable and better way of getting home for Thanksgiving. And I'm unable to convince one young, tattooed dummy.
Well, I hope you find a easier cure, because that was the hardest $1,000 I ever made.
What's important to me about this movie, and I think to all of us who work in particular fields that we feel aren't glamorized or underexplained, is that First and foremost, to see your own life in some way depicted in the movies or some parts of your life, I think really communicates the importance of our lives to other people, because movies basically take up such a huge place in our own lives. And I think there's something kind of magical and I think transportive about that.
So, there you have it, the Weekend Edition 2003 Summer Film Festival. No prizes, but also no speeches. This means that we like you. We really like you. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.